It's time for the Fantasy Football Guys. With fantasy football girth so thick, it makes Ron Jeremy weep like a little schoolgirl.
Most of it's mine.
Here they are, Lyle Conkeel and Kevin Moore, the Fantasy Football Guys.
Yeah, that's right. We are the Fantasy Football Guys, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm Lyle.
And Lyle, you do have to admit, dude, between the two of us, I am the
girthiest. You do have the girth.
I am the girthiest between the two of us.
He is. Every once in a while, you can see dust particles orbiting him.
That's false.
That's it's not false, buddy.
Are you positive?
A true story.
Hey, well, you know, we're both trying to lose a little weight, Lyle.
We are.
Yeah.
I've actually lost some.
I have too. See, my problem is
you left that open for me, bro.
My problem is I lose some and then I gain some and then I lose some and then I gain some.
Well, I do the same thing. What I do is I quit drinking and then I start drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really, dude, if I quit drinking beer, I would just melt.
Well, my whole thing is I stop drinking or eating carbohydrates, and then I start eating carbohydrates.
Yeah,
it's
that
whole diet thing we did on random.
Those are bad news, man. You have to really limit them if you're going to have them at all.
Well, that's the thing. Careful. It's like, you know, when I'm quote unquote off, then, you know, sky's the limit. But you know, if you have 50, you might as well have 100 because the insulin's pumping.
That's probably not true, but
probably not. But for me, that's what it is. So now I'm, you know, not eating carbohydrates.
You're going back. Well, you just got on vacation, though, too.
Yeah, I was on vacation.
You
know,
what are you going to do?
Yeah, so I've lost like 11 in the past week.
That's nice.
That's one of the great, if there is a great thing about being a massive dude like myself, when you decide to lose weight, it just runs away from you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. The percentage is small, though.
I'm looking at pounds, not percentages, pal. That's how we do it.
Ugh.
So anyway, we're the Fantasy Football Guys, and coming up in just a few minutes, Ross Tucker from XM Sirius NFL Radio is going to be here to talk to us about what's happening in football this season. We enjoyed last year's conversation so much, we wanted to have him back. And
definitely.
I'll be damned, he said yes.
He did say yes, which is sort of amazing.
Yeah, I was like, hey, Ross, do you think you'd want to come back? He said, yeah, sounds good. I'm like, what?
Anyway, amazing.
The most amazing thing was he actually remembered who we are, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, so, it's kind
of... let's take a look at news real quick. And there's really not a whole lot of it, really. You want to look at Ezekiel Elliott has had some off the field troubles, as we all know.
Here it comes.
Suspected of, and there's an investigation of domestic battery against his ex girlfriend, I believe. He was at a parade, and apparently he pulled a woman's top down.
Mm-hmm.
And then most recently,
that's sexual assault, Kevin.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's problems. So recently at a Dallas nightclub,
it's not optimal.
It's not. Apparently, at a Dallas nightclub, he punched a dude and broke his nose.
Yeah.
Now, because it's Ezekiel Elliott and it's in Dallas, and he's a cowboy, he's the cowboy, potentially.
Well, yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
The witnesses aren't cooperating.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Is so that really going down?
Yeah. So the Dallas police is like, we're suspending this investigation for the moment.
I read that. I didn't know it was because of the witnesses weren't.
Yeah,
I just read the headline.
Witnesses are not cooperating. Because do you want to be that dude in Dallas who told the truth against Zeke Elliott?
Well,
had him suspended for 8 games?
Yeah, but if you walk around punching people.
You and I know that, dude.
Yeah, you can't let a dude do that.
But here's the thing. If you're in a club and you see Alshon Jeffrey smack a bitch, are you going to tell the cops that Alshon Jeffrey smacked a bitch?
I would, yeah. Alshon hasn't earned his status yet. Now, if it was
Carson Wentz,
if it was,
which he wouldn't do. But
if it was B-Doc back in the day, which he totally wouldn't do.
No.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think I'm testifying against B-Doc.
No, you're not.
But, you know, I mean, really, dude with the broken nose is going to get a nice paycheck, and everybody'll be happy. What happened to the day where you get in a little altercation, you get a little beat up or whatever, and that's it? You know.
Well, see, now it's lawsuits and cops come, and you know.
It just is insane. Dudes fight; they're not going to ever stop fighting. You know why does everybody have to get involved in it? I get it if somebody gets seriously hurt. If you're really trying to hurt somebody, sure. Well, but you get smacked in the nose and it happens to break. I mean, you don't know what happened. He might have deserved it.
Well, that's the thing.
Excuse me, Lyle. Nobody ever deserves to be physically assaulted. Shut up.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that.
I know you weren't. I was talking to the people that are screaming at their radio or whatever right now.
I'm actually, you know, with YouTube and justice porn on Reddit and all these things, I'm amazed when somebody acts responsibly in the face of an attack. Yeah. Was watching an old video today of a road rage guy on a motorcycle. Dude gets out of the car, comes and punches the guy in the helmet.
Yeah,
and then pushes the dude's girlfriend, and the guy doesn't work him over, which he could because he had on the rider gloves.
He knocked him down, didn't he?
He and took his friend him down.
Broke his arm.
The dude, not,
yeah, the dude broke his arm. He was drunk. He just fell weird.
Oh, he didn't look like he had a broken arm in the video. Like, bald guy.
Yep.
Well, yeah. I don't know if he broke his arm or not.
He did when he fell down. He broke his arm, but whatever. He was drunk and he ended up getting arrested. I know the whole story because I actually talked to that dude on YouTube back when I was doing my motorcycle.
Talked to
thing.
The motorcycle
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, that is a really responsible sort of thing to do. It amazes me, like these people that I go to the gym with that are way, way stronger than me and like just badass dudes. It amazes me how many times they talk about people that, you know, learn that they do like martial arts and want a shot at
him.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they'll go to the, and like, there's this one dude he's huge, just super jacked, man. Super nice guy. But he's told me, you know, hey man, you know, yeah. People come up to me and be like, oh, you do that? Yeah. What's up? Jiu-jitsu is fun. Yeah. Yeah. So people are really stupid. They ask to get beat up all the time. So you don't know. Zeke might've been totally right. Oh, Zeke, you think you're special?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure that that had a lot to do.
I have no idea. I mean, who knows? Zeke might be a totally jerk. He is a cowboy for.
Yeah, well, that's true. God's but you know what? The whole thing is like, you know, the guys with this girl, and you know, you see this in the movies all the time. Who knows if it actually happens in real life? Guys with a girl, she's looking at Zeke as, hey, there's Zeke Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy gets angry because his girl is looking at the dude. So he walks over to Zeke Elliott and goes, "My girl's looking at you. What's up?"
Yeah.
And then you know, kind of. Get something to do.
Pure speculation, by the way. We have no idea what happened. No idea. We're just imagining scenarios.
James Conner,
yeah,
the NFL rookie for mm-hmm. the Pittsburgh Steelers,
mm-hmm.
has the best-selling rookie jersey. In fact, I think he's third behind Dak Prescott and Tom Brady.
Wow.
In sales.
Mm.
So that doesn't mean anything as far as fantasy value goes. But you know what? He's a guy that a lot of people are targeting as a handcuff, if you will, which we don't really like those. But you look at how D-Will is done when Bell is out. You know, if you got him on the end of your bench.
Oh, he's definitely a draft.
He's
right?
Definitely a guy 100%. You pick up in the 12th.
Maybe 12th round. Yeah, yeah, I'm thinking. Round. I don't know where his ADP is right now. I'll look. 242, what's that?
242?
I can't do math in my head.
Divided by 12 equals...
That's 20. So right now he's undrafted? That seems insane.
Well, perfect. I like that.
So pretty much anybody in that Pittsburgh backfield, I will stick on the end of my bench for a couple weeks. Just in case, right?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of those guys. Alvin Kamara is one of those
sure,
guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to fill those spots on your bench, and I would rather fill them with people that could potentially be huge, or excuse me, Kevin,
huge.
Then, you know, put in a guy who possibly I could use it as a flex occasionally. I'd rather roll the dice at it because I'm going to be moving those guys back and forth, dropping them, picking them up, like whatever. So I always go high upside there. I don't go value players.
Right.
My last four or five bench spots, forget it. Whatever. Let's shoot for this guy. They're almost always rookies or people that have had like really poor seasons 2 years in a row that might be in a position to bounce back.
I don't think he's going to be that low, but I think Corey Coleman falls into that category.
Sure.
Guy who was a rookie last year, showed some promise, and then got hurt and was out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the kind of guys. Or John Brown.
Dude, Jamal Charles right now is going almost in the 11th round.
I know.
Right? That's a dude that I will 100% grab up in the 11th round.
You know what? Another guy... You're talking about the Broncos. Another guy that falls into that category, kinda, is C.J. Anderson.
Yes, I hear you.
He's going really low.
I know,
but dude, he's a starting running back in the NFL.
Yeah. Is he
today?
Is he?
He is today.
Yeah.
Now I get nervous because it's this guy is just on top of it.
He said 10 after 8. It's 10 after 8.
Ross Tucker's on the phone. Let's see if he is ready to talk. Ross Tucker. Hey, Ross Tucker, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Oh, man.
It's fantastic, man. Football season is just about here.
Yeah, and we're excited that our tech setup actually worked here, so we can hear you.
Nice. I'll take it.
Yeah, man.
It's always a plus. So, you know what? I can't turn on the radio or the TV, Ross, without seeing or hearing you. So, what is your day like? What are you doing?
Yeah, what's going on now?
You're like a media mogul at this point. So, yeah. Where in the world are you on a daily basis?
Well, I don't know. You guys are making it sound better than it probably is. I mean, every morning, I'm on Sirius XM NFL Radio Channel 88. So, you can count on that. And right now it's 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern time. Starting the 31st, it'll be back to my regular 6 to 7. And then they usually keep me on until 11 a.m., 2 or 3 days a week. So always Mondays and Thursdays and usually another day here or there. And then right now I'm writing and doing videos for Sports on Earth. And then the big thing, obviously, is like you guys, the podcast. I've got
right.
A bunch of them. The college draft is all about evaluating and scouting players and how you do it. Even money, a lot of people really like. It's about gambling and wagering on especially NFL. Fantasy Feast with Evan Silva from Roto World is very popular. And then I do the Ross Tucker Football Podcast daily once the season starts. It's 3 times a week right now. So pretty busy on the podcast end of things, and then once the season gets going, I'll do college games for NBC Sports Network and NFL games for Westwood One. So I'm actually enjoying my weekends now, fellas, because once yeah. September rolls around, as they say, my ass is grass. So
right,
that's fine. You know what? It could be worse.
That's right.
Than having to go to a game or two every weekend.
Yeah, we're certainly not that busy, but our schedule ramps up quite a bit during the season too. And every once in a while, like one of us will start to complain, and the other one will go, "What are you talking about, man? We're sitting here talking about football. What else are you gonna do?"
Yeah,
yeah. So
yeah, the hardest part is looking at each other. That's,
right.
That's where
yeah,
it gets really difficult.
Stare at Kevin. All.
Now you know what? Anytime I start to complain about the travel or any aspect of this, I say, dude, your 8th grade self would kick your ass right now.
Right.
Because, I mean, most people, you know, aren't fortunate enough to have their dream come true. You know, I had a dream of playing in the NFL come true for a while. And then my real dream, because my dad's only 5'9", 170, was to be like a broadcaster. So I'm really fortunate. Sometimes I feel like God made me big enough and a good enough player just so I could accomplish what had been my primary goal of being a broadcaster.
That's awesome, man. Well, yeah. It certainly does get your foot in the door, you know. But yeah. but you got to have the skills to carry it too. There's been some people in the past that didn't really cut it, even though they were NFL material, you know.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. You were talking about you do the radio every morning from 6 to 11. Back in the day, I did 4 hours of radio, and I was playing music when I was doing that. So you just talk straight for hours.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at your ability to do that and not freak out at the end of the
yeah,
day.
Yeah, I do an hour with Kevin, and I'm ready to kill him. So I don't know how you guys...
well, you know what? It's really... What helps is that it's a call-in show, so the callers
yeah.
keep you on your toes and keep it interesting. And then also, you know, it's really all about the topic. And fortunately, now we've got some good topics again. There was a stretch there where, yeah. man, I was like taking all my topic ideas from things that happened in the NBA and correlating it to something yeah. in the NFL. That was tough.
It gets dry sometimes in the off season. It certainly does, man.
Yeah, when we're doing our show, we look and see, okay, what's the news today? And it's like, oh, Colin Kaepernick is angry at Mike Vick's shot at his hair. It's like, okay, this is what we got to do now.
Yeah, I can't.
All right, so speaking of topic, let's roll into it because I know you're of a limited amount of time. Training camps are coming up, so you are in the unique position between the three of us to talk about what it's like a week before training camp, and especially for rookies and undrafted free agent rookies. What are dudes in that position now that are going into their first camp? They got OTAs under their belt, but going into that first camp where they're, you know, maybe they're a first or second rounder, those guys have a different experience than a guy who's undrafted. Can you talk a little bit about what those dudes are feeling right now, a week away from the biggest, you know, events of their lives?
Funny, because for those guys, It's mainly anxiety and nerves. There's a certain level of excitement, but also anxiety and nerves because they think they know what the NFL is about, but because they haven't really gone with shoulder pads on and full pads, they're not exactly sure. You right. know, it's like, okay, I did the OTAs, I did the mini camps, I know what it's about, but how much different is it when we actually get there to training camp? I remember, you know, playing at Princeton, I remember going through the mini camps and the OTAs, and honestly, guys, I thought that the guys would be better. You know, when you go to like a lower level school, or right. I guess they call it FCS now, you watch like a Michigan-Ohio State game or Alabama-Georgia or whatever, and you just wonder how good those guys really are. Mm-hmm. And how your team would do against their team if you had like 13 guys on the field the whole time or whatever.
Right, right.
And so I remember getting to mini camp and OTAs, and I kept blocking this guy that was second team all ACC from Clemson named Terry Bryant. I kept blocking him every play in OTAs. I just remember thinking, when's he going to turn the good on? You know what I mean?
Right, like right.
When's he going to show why he went to Clemson and was second team all ACC and I was, you know, playing in the Ivy League, and it just never happened. And then I thought, okay, well, maybe these guys just are a lot better when you get to training camp and when the pads are on. Maybe that's when I'll really be able to tell. But I couldn't. It was the same. In fact, I even did better with them against pads. So some of it, I think, is expectations. I had built them up so much in my head that I didn't know if, like, Big Daddy Wilkinson or Bruce Smith. Like, I didn't know if they'd pick me up and throw me. I had no idea what to expect. So the first year, you're nervous and there's anxiety because you don't know what to expect. Every year after that, it's total dread. It's like, oh my gosh, I got a report July 23rd and I'm not going to have a single day off. And it's going to be marked by a lot of pain
right.
for the next 5 months plus of my life, really 6 months of my life. It's going to be not a single day off, totally off, and there will always be something hurting. Because as of like 3 days in, guys, either your elbow or your ankle right. or you dislocate a finger or something's bothering you. And you get used to that being normal. Like, you have a new normal, which is to always be in some level of pain or some level of discomfort. But, man, I can remember the week of July 4th, I would live it up, and I'd be somewhere like at the beach or somewhere, guys, and someone would say to me, when does training camp start? And I would say, shut the heck up. That's the last thing I want to talk about right now.
What a jerk.
It starts later.
Hey, when
not
do you
now.
Go back to work?
Not tonight, baby. Not tonight.
Yeah, that's awesome that it's dread and you know, anxiety before for a rookie. But then after that, it's like,
I got to go back to work. Yeah. Hey, so conversely, I've always been curious about this. When did you realize, so you talked about it being kind of easy and you were kind of surprised, you know, going against these guys that you had built up in your head. When did you realize you were in the NFL? Like, was it a certain play? Was it a player you went against? When did you go, oh, okay, there it is?
First day, dude.
Oh, yeah?
First day. Because number one, I would say before the first day, number one, I go to Redskins minicamp. I'm 22. I just turned 22. I still haven't graduated college yet, and I'm at the mini camp after the draft getting a physical, and I'm in the room, and there's Jeff George.
Whoa.
There's, you know, Bruce Smith, Darryl Green.
Wow.
Steven Davis. I was like, dude, what? This is bizarro world right now. Right. Like, I could not believe it. Then I went out to practice, and I'll never forget three things. Number one, I kept hearing this whistling noise. And I did not know what it was. I kept looking up in the sky, looking around, but I just kept hearing this whistling. Well, it turns out since I was a rookie, I was on like the scout team defense during walkthrough. And every time, guys, Jeff George would flick his wrist, the ball was a frozen laser beam.
Whoa.
And it would whistle as it went by your head.
Wow.
I had never heard that before in my life.
Dude, that
then I couldn't believe how high the punters could punt the ball. I mean, the ball like exploded off their feet. But the big one was they put me out at tackle, and my first one-on-ones were against LeVar Arrington.
Nice.
Nice. To this day, might be the most physically gifted guy I ever went against. And also, we're both from Pennsylvania. He's a legend. I mean, he was like first team All-State as a freshman in high school in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So I had to go against him, and he beat me. I was so worried about how fast he is that he beat me inside. And I thought, oh, I can't let that happen again. So the next time I sat and waited on him, and he came, same move, guys, right into my chest and just started bull rushing me with his helmet right in my chest. We don't even have shoulder pads on. The only thing I could grab was his throat, and I tried to rip his Adam's apple out. I mean, I tried to squeeze as hard as I possibly could, and he finally stopped, and I was thinking, wow, this is the NFL. And the whole rest of the practice, you guys, he kept pointing at me, like talking to different guys on the team and pointing at me, like Big Daddy Wilkerson or Kernard Lang or Sam Shade. I was thinking, uh-oh, this is not good. Like, I don't know what's happening here, but it's not good. I get in the locker room, he's still pointing at me. And now we don't have my helmet on. Now I don't have anything on. I'm going to the shower, and his locker's right next to the shower.
Oh, great.
And he's still staring at me, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I'm going to get in a fight my first practice in the NFL, and now I don't have my helmet on. And, you know, it's one of those things where you think you're pretty tough, but LeVar looks like the heavyweight champ of the world.
Right.
You know, like, he looks like he could beat the heavyweight champ of the world's ass, actually.
Right.
So I was thinking, uh-oh. And he says to me as I'm walking by, yo, Princeton, going for my throat and stuff, huh? And guys, I got my towel in one hand and I ball up my fist in the other hand, ready to just punch him because I thought, well, I'm going to die anyway. I might as well get the first punch in.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And he looks at me and he says, I like that, and gave me a fist bump.
That's awesome.
And I realized right then that was my welcome to the NFL moment. That's what they respect. They respect violence. He respected that I was willing to try to rip his freaking Adam's apple out and try to break his neck with my hand. He respected that, and he was going around telling all the other guys, yo, that Princeton dude's got it. He's got it. He's got what we need. And so that was my welcome to the NFL day, first day.
And you strutted into the shower a little bit, chest busted out a little bit, right?
Or did you just breathe a sigh of relief?
I felt a lot better than I did when I thought I was about to get jumped by about 30 dudes. Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to be taped to the goalpost. I know it.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's a great story.
I love that. Yeah. Let's switch up a little bit and talk about some of the season coming up. We talked last year about some O-lines that are up and coming. Obviously, a lot of changes have been made. Cowboys lost like 40% of their line. Are they still the number one line in the NFL this year?
I don't think you can say that right now. I mean, you know, I think they're moving Lyle Collins from left guard to right tackle. And so to me, they really have two question marks. I don't know how good he'll be at right tackle. And I don't know how good Cooper or whoever fills in at left guard will be. So sometimes that's dangerous. When you move a guy, you actually get worse at two spots as opposed to just getting worse at one.
Right.
If that makes sense.
So he had some issues at left guard, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I would say that. You know, some of the lines that I like right now, I still really like Atlanta's line.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit nervous about Green Bay after they lose TJ Lang.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're replacing him with one of those young guys that was not real impressive. I think it's going to be Spriggs, but he was not real impressive to me last year. So that's certainly a concern. I think Pittsburgh has a really good offensive line. Tennessee has a nice offensive line that's young and getting better. My favorite offensive line is probably Oakland just because they beat the heck out of people,
right?
Which I love. And the last one I would say to really keep an eye on for sure this year is the Eagles. I mean, because not only do they have a pretty darn good starting five, but they have really good depth. So if they stay healthy, I feel really good about the Eagles, because when you look at these lines, guys, you have to assume that the sixth man is going to start about half the year and that the seventh guy ends up starting about three or four games, because that's usually how it works out.
Right.
And the Eagles have eighth and ninth guys that you'd feel comfortable if they went in the game. A lot of teams, you really can't say that.
Yeah, that's one of the things about Dallas last year that really I think kind of solidified their top spot last year was the fact that everybody was really healthy all year long.
Yeah, that helps.
That is gigantic, because there's so much that has to do with line play that's like continuity and chemistry.
Sure.
I mean, you guys are better at this podcast than you were a year ago or 2 years ago, whatever. You're just more familiar, more comfortable. You've been doing it for longer. Offensive line plays the same thing. I mean, when you know what the guy next to you is going to be doing, you have that sixth sense. It's like when you're talking to your wife on the phone, unless you're arguing or something, but you know what you're doing, right? You know how to handle it. So
right.
I really think that is big, but obviously we can't predict injuries. What we can predict is how well the backups should perform when it's their turn to go in based on what we know of them.
Right.
Right. Well, last year you accurately predicted, I asked you point blank if all the hype about Zeke Elliott was valid or not. And you did predict that he was probably going to do pretty well. And I would venture to say that he had a decent season all around.
Yeah, he did okay.
I want to hear your thoughts on this year's running backs or wide receivers if you want to throw some out there. But there's a lot of talk about these young guys like Fournette, McCaffrey, Mixon, Dalvin Cook. Just who do you think is out there that could be a bargain in drafts?
Well, I will tell you, I'm not as high on McCaffrey as a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's not about McCaffrey. It's about Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
You know, I spoke to Ron Rivera, I think it was last week, guys, on the radio. And I said, you know, Ron, a lot of people, based on you drafting McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel, believe that, you know, you guys are trying to change up the offense and get the ball out of Cam's hands quickly. And is that true? He said, absolutely. You know, they really don't want Cam taking so many hits.
Yeah.
They want him to get the ball out of his hands faster in the pocket, and they also don't want him to run the ball as much. Now, I feel like him not running the ball as much is probably always a goal,
sure.
But that's one of those things where it sounds good till it's third and one, you know, and you really want to get the first down, right? Or you're on the goal line, and it's like, let's run Cam. So that sounds good until you're trying to win a game. But I do think they're really going to work on Cam getting the ball out quickly. I wonder if he can do it. You know, I'm sure you guys are the same like me. And I told Ron this. When I think of Cam, I think of him taking a pretty deep drop, standing tall in the pocket, waiting till the last second, and uncorking a deep dig or a deep out, you know, a laser beam off his back foot somehow. I have no idea how he does that.
Right.
And I don't know that I picture him getting the ball out in a second. Second and a half, and checking it down and throwing the option routes to Christian McCaffrey, especially given the fact that he had that shoulder surgery and wasn't able to really participate in any of the spring stuff. You know, I'll believe that Cam can become more of a dink and dunk guy, a little bit more of a, you know, I hate this term, but game manager type when I see it. I'm just not sure that that's his style, or that's what he'll do well, or that'll stick. And so you might not end up getting nearly the usage out of McCaffrey that you thought. Conversely, you know, for the Jags to take Fournette where they did, and knowing Coughlin and knowing how they feel about Bortles, I think they're going to use the crap out of Fournette.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a usage monster. So even though they're both top 10 guys, and I love McCaffrey's skill set, I just don't know that he went to the right team to maximize him, at least this year, from a fantasy perspective. But I do think Fournette, I think Fournette might even exceed expectations.
Wow. Yeah, I think kind of Dalvin Cook falls into that same category because there's really nobody else there who is ready. I mean,
it's
McKinnon's
a similar
there.
Situation, too. Offense is okay. Defense is pretty good.
Let's run the ball and burn clock and let the defense win it.
That's a good point.
How do you feel about Cook?
I like Cook as a player, and I think you're right. I guess my concern there is twofold. Number one, you know, Pat Shurmur is the offensive coordinator, and he really likes to throw the ball, and he really likes Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
And they really like this short passing game, and he grew up, you know, with Andy Reid and that kind of stuff, you know, getting the ball out quickly. I guess I would think one of the things I like about Cook there, though, would be in the passing game. My question is, are they going to have Cook do that? You know what I mean? Like, are they going to have Cook in that role, or are they going to have McKinnon in that role? And I know we've got, you know, Murray has the injury, but how much does Murray eat into it as well? Mm-hmm. But I do think Cook could be like a Brian Westbrook type. I just wonder how much they'll actually run it, and are we sure right away as a rookie they're going to have him fill both roles of, you know, the first and second down guy, as well as the obvious passing down. I'm just not so sure about that.
I guess it all comes down to how well he blocks.
Yeah.
How well he can pick up that blitz.
That's a key component to being out there on the field.
That's a huge part of it. And I do think it should be a really nice year for Kyle Rudolph, because I do believe that, you know, you look at that offense historically, and it's getting the ball to the running backs and tight ends a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I think, you know, Rudolph and Bradford, even with more time together, could be even better together.
Beautiful.
That sounds great. I know you got a tight schedule here, Ross, and we're at about 20 minutes. So I think we need to cut you loose, right?
Yeah, I can take one more question. Yeah,
all
one
right.
more.
Let's
okay.
do it.
Well, let's talk about receivers then. You talked about the receiver in Samuel in Carolina. Hmm. You know, what do you think about other receivers that were taken relatively early? I think Williams is going to start the season on the pup. You know, and I think receivers take a little while to mature in the NFL. But is there a receiver you think is in the exact right spot who's actually going to be able to be fantasy relevant at least by midseason?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's Corey Davis in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I would also tell you that, boy, I talked to a lot of people that really like the burner that the Bengals got.
Oh, John Ross.
You know.
Yeah. I wanted him to fall to the Eagles. I was really hoping he would fall to Philly.
That?
I was hoping he would fall to Philly. He's the guy I wanted.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. The guy, you're right, though, to stay away from Mike Williams. I had a back surgery when I was in Buffalo. And whether he has the surgery or not, he's going to happen. You know, I mean, Ian Rappaport said today that maybe he can avoid it. That's a ticking time bomb, bro. That's once you get to the point where you're getting a second epidural, I don't know that I've ever heard a guy that did not have to get the surgery after that point. So if they're smart, they'd have him do the surgery right now and have him on PUP and maybe have him for the second half of the year, maybe. But obviously, stay away from him.
Yeah.
I do like Corey Davis, very polished. I think there's a lot of opportunity there in Tennessee. And like we talked about, you know, the Bengals would not have taken him as high as they did unless they were really high on him. And if you think about it, you can guarantee that A.J. Green is going to get double coverage.
Right.
Now you've got John Ross, who's so fast, you have to have a safety over the top of his side as well. So I guess my insight there would be I'd really be liking Joe Mixon, because you have to have two deep safeties. You can't leave a guy one-on-one with A.J. Green, but you can't have a guy that runs a 4-2 and only have a corner over there.
Yeah.
So I think the Bengals end up getting a lot of two deep safety looks, which is a favorable run look, which makes Mixon getting back to the running backs, I guess, again, even more attractive to me.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Mixon's drafting pretty much spells the end for Hill there, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they already decided that. Man, is it funny, though? Was it like, it felt like just 2 years ago, Hill had a great first or second year, and we all thought, oh, yep. He's the guy. He was like the bell of the ball for a while there. It's amazing how quickly things change, especially with the running backs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it seems like that position of late has been not devalued necessarily, but, you know, more of a committee approach has been taken by a lot of clubs.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, it's hard to find a solo running back in the NFL anymore. I mean, you just don't see it. Something that was so common when we were growing up just doesn't exist almost anymore. You have a few clubs.
Right.
You know what's crazy about that to me? Is Le'Veon Bell supposedly wants $15 million a year.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Le'Veon Bell must not have watched the Steelers games when D'Angelo Williams played last year.
I know.
Yeah.
Best running back in the NFL.
They offered him 12, and he was like, nah.
Like, he's like, I'm good.
12 is pretty good.
They offered him $15 million a year for the first 2 years and $14 million a year for the first three.
Wow.
I mean, it's crazy. Wow. It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, well.
I guess he knows what he's doing. I don't know, yeah. Man.
Somebody will pay him, that's for sure.
Well, he's
somebody will end up.
What's the franchise tag number for running backs in Le'Veon's spot?
I don't know where that is. I could look it up.
It's 12.
Okay, that's 12. Where I got that number from. Okay.
But the thing is, look, nobody in the league makes more than 8. It's only 12 because Adrian Peterson used to make like 15.
Right.
I mean, the highest paid running backs in the NFL make $8 million a year. The Steelers offered him almost double. And he still turned it down. This is a guy that has not ever played every game in a season.
Yep.
And has been suspended twice.
Yep.
I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, see, at that point, you got to fire your agent because he's giving you bad advice.
Something's going on. Yeah, he's whispering in
his
ear.
Guys, based on some of the things he said and done, I don't even think it is his agent.
Really?
I really don't. I think... This is just Le'Veon.
Yeah, maybe his agent's going, dude, this is not going to
get any
better
than this.
Right,
I want my cut. All right, Ross.
Ross, you are the man, sir.
We really appreciate you doing this, man.
Absolutely. Take care, guys. Enjoy the show.
You bet. Enjoy the season. We'll talk later.
Yeah, man.
All right, we'll see you.
Take care.
Thanks,
right,
Ross. Bye.
Check out Ross on SiriusXM. Apparently... everywhere else in the entire universe.
Yeah, dude. You know what?
He's got a million podcasts. He's
like I said, he does 6 a.m. to 11.
People like that make me feel lazy, dude. And I'm a busy guy.
I do
a lot of stuff, right? I look at stuff like he's doing, and I'm like, man, what am I doing with my life? I need to get back to work.
Yeah, I mean, Ross is a busy guy. And, you know, it's like other hosts come in the morning. That's where I hear most of him.
Yeah.
It's kind of bizarre having in my headphones, but... I hear him on Sirius almost every day when I'm going into work, the days that I actually go to work. But, you know, he'll have Bob Papa in, the guy who's play-by-play for the Giants. He had Booger McFarlane in for a while, and their relationship was kind of like ours, where, you know, they get along until they disagree, and then the other guy's an ass.
Yeah, right.
That's how it works. he's in there every day, and 5 hours of straight talk radio, dude.
Yeah. You know, like you said, with the calls, it does help. I mean, we'll do a Saturday show, and we'll do an hour and a half.
And it goes like that.
It goes super fast, and oftentimes people are asking really similar questions, but we still can, you know, riff off of it and talk. I think he's right, though. The off season is where it's really tough. Once you get into the season, it's kind of easy to do a bunch of time. You know, because, I mean, you could talk about players forever.
Right. We run out of time. It's like, okay, we're 90 minutes in. We have more to say.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
But, you know, I have a life, and it's Saturday. So, yeah. Dude, he's so fascinating to talk to that guy, man.
Yeah. I mean,
just the insights. I love that, you know, that whole story. He's standing. Can you imagine? You're standing in the locker room your first day. You're holding a towel, and you think you're about to get jumped.
And, dude, LeVar Arrington's a physical specimen.
So, it's funny because Joe Rogan's always saying this. I listen to his podcast a lot. He's like, there's certain people that you see them, and you go, how am I the same species as that person? Like, clearly we're not the same.
Well, did you see the picture that was around the internet about a year ago?
It was Shaq.
It was Yao Ming.
Oh, it was Yao Ming, yeah.
And Shaq and Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
And it's like, how can these three dudes be the same species?
They're the same species.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all human beings.
And how often do you see Shaq, you know,
shortest
somebody, guy standing there?
Somebody's towering over him.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, we're all different, obviously, in that regard. But
I know, but Arrington's a monster, dude. And imagine, especially then.
Well, yeah,
good
I mean,
God.
A lot of these football players, their neck's as big as my thigh.
Right.
And he was one of those guys. Yeah, he worked his neck. He was a linebacker, obviously.
Right.
So, dude, he's just massive neck.
Yeah.
You know, and he's looking at you like, you grab my throat.
He's pointing at you.
Yeah. To other guys whose necks are as big as buildings.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I love that Ross balled his fist up. I would have ran. I'd have been like, all right, I guess that was my stint in the NFL.
Well, good thing he had his fist, you know, balled because then he got the bump.
Right.
Because without did. That.
Yeah.
So good. I was kind of telling Lyle about this earlier, that I at my age of 54, there's very few first times I've ever done that type of thing.
Oh,
you know what I mean? But for
this
the
is Kevin's coming out story, finally happened.
Yeah. So for the first time ever today, and I've been in this league. I was out for a year or two in the middle, but I've been in this league like 6 years. This is going to be my sixth year in this league.
Right.
I started the day. In this league, looking forward to the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the day, by the end of the workday, I quit.
Wow.
I jumped out of the league.
Wow.
And it was all based on behavior of some of the other players in the league.
Hmm.
So first of all, I was not really, you know, happy with this league to start with because last year's draft, you know, some of the people there are a little adversarial. Which is okay when it's good-natured, but it wasn't always good-natured to me in that draft. So I kind of felt a little uncomfortable with some of the people that were there, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm,
But you know me. What do I never draft on draft day?
What do you mean, never? A kicker or defense?
That's exactly right.
Mostly a kicker.
Right.
Sometimes I don't draft a defense, too, but yeah, kicker,
right. If I can avoid it, I won't draft a kicker or a defense. Because, you know, especially the time, it was like 3 weeks before the season started.
Got plenty of time.
What am I going to do with a kicker and a defense, right? So apparently some of the old guys in this league got pissed that I hadn't drafted a kicker or a defense. So at the end of the season, they had a, you know, we're going to award the winner the money, and there's a belt that goes with it and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
I couldn't make it to the thing because I had maybe doing this show. I can't remember.
Right.
So, you know, it was supposed to just be the celebration. Turns out while they were there, people brought up rules changes they wanted to vote on and voted on them without me there. And a couple other guys, too. And
should have been there.
Well, who knew? I didn't know they're going to be doing league rule changes. So one of the things they voted on was you have to draft a full team. You have to draft a kicker, and you have to draft a defense at the draft.
Yeah. It's lame.
Because the old guys are like, it's not fair that he gets extra players and doesn't draft a kicker.
You don't have to draft a kicker. Why do you have to draft a kicker?
You know,
you have to play a kicker.
Right. So my thing was, you know, if I'd been there, I'd have said, number one, it's none of your damn business who I draft. If you wanted these guys that I drafted instead of a kicker or a defense, you should have drafted them. Secondly, you know, just because I have to play one doesn't mean I have to draft one now. It doesn't make any sense to draft, you know, throwaway positions 3 weeks before the kickoff.
Agreed.
You know, so, and this thing passed. So I wasn't really happy about that, you know. So I was pretty pissed about that in the entire offseason. And then the commissioner's like in an email saying, hey, I'm thinking about switching from this venue to Buffalo Wild Wings because they give you this and they give you this and they give you that.
Sure.
And it's a cool place to have it. And it's in the middle of the afternoon, so we'll have the place to ourselves. Let's go there. People started clamoring and bitching and calling the commission names and wondering, what in the hell's happened to this league? Blah, blah, blah. And so the commissioner was like, fine. You know, I was just trying to make a suggestion. And it was just like, my God, shut up, you people. These are the bitchiest, whiniest group of adult people I've ever seen in my entire life. All right, so
I don't know, man. People complain about everything.
So this today, right? So like in our other league that we do, the MBNFL league, they had a drawing, and the guy who's in first place can choose where they want to be in the draft, and this guy who got picked second gets to choose.
Sure.
So the first guy comes up. Hey, dude, you're up. You know, you want to keep the first spot or you want to go somewhere else? Now, a lot of these teams are two guys on a team. And it's,
okay.
As opposed to just one guy. So the dude's like, well, my partner is out of the country. He's not going to be back until Friday. You know, over the weekend or Monday, we'll sit down and discuss our options. We'll let you know next Wednesday.
What?
Right.
No.
Right.
No, you choose now.
So the co-commish or the assistant commissioner, this isn't a to everyone email. He sends back, he's like, what is this, the 80s? You got email, you got Skype, you got, you know, figure it out. You have till noon tomorrow. So there was a huge back and forth of this guy saying, or what? What if I don't pick? What are you going to do?
You go to the back of the line.
Right. The guy said, you just keep the first spot. If you don't tell us you want to change, boom. So the dude, it just blows up and people are cursing back and forth. And you know what I said to the commish? I'm like, you know what, dude?
What?
I don't need this kind of drama in my life.
Yeah.
So the commish ended up quitting. Another guy ended up quitting. And I clapped out.
All because of this email chain. Well, I mean, it's a series of events, but this was the straw.
That was the last one. It's like, you know what? I don't want to be... Plus, I'm going to have to see these people at the draft. It's like, I don't like any of these people. And as I told the guy who was the assistant commish, who became the commish after the commish quit, I said to him, I'm like, dude, you are the only one of this group of people that I don't want to punch in the face. And I don't want to see these people in 6 weeks and punch people in the face. So you know what? I'm just clapping out.
It's so good.
I loved it.
It's so good. I just want to punch everybody.
I do.
Yeah, when you get that, when that happens, like when you get to that point, yeah, it's time to clap out of the league.
Right. But the good news is,
go ahead. Right. No, go ahead. I mean, I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
You're going to say you got into another league.
Right. So the guy, the commissioner of that league who quit says, hey, you know what, dude, I like being in a league with you, you know. So, hey, come be in this other league. There's a spot open. It's really chilled out. You know, it's a keeper league. You get one keeper. So you'll be taking over some other dude's team. We're going to have the draft at my house on the 26th. It's a Saturday. So I'm sending the wife and kids to her mother's house. So it's going to be just the dudes. I have a basketball court and a pool in the backyard. I have a keganator, all right? And he's like...
Were you like, whoa, 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 you had me at other league. Right.
So then he says, we're going to do the draft... And then we're going to buy the Mayweather McGregor fight.
Oh, F off.
So I was I was like, dude, I'm 90% in.
He was going to say Mayweather McGregor. I don't know that you got it all the way out before I cut you off.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm 90% in. Let me have a look at the team that I'd be getting to make sure there's a decent keeper for me. So I got in, like, Jordy Nelson was there.
Nice.
You know, so he would have cost me a second rounder, and he's spot on value.
Yep.
But, dude, I can get Terrell Pryor for a 15th rounder. He's currently early fourth round.
Ooh.
That's mad value.
I don't know, though.
If I want Jordy, I can draft Jordy.
Yeah, fair enough. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But getting a fourth rounder for 15th round value, that's almost like getting, you know, Jordy Nelson for 17th round value.
It would be 16th.
You rat bastard. Yeah.
So, do I need to officially claim him in our league, or do you know?
I think I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
A lot of other players I got there, but I think I'm going to take, I think he was third in points last year.
Yeah. So, dude, it was like I went from, you know, screw these guys to like, hey, I'm in this cool league. I wasn't sure I was going to get to watch the Mayweather-McGregor tussle. You know, because I wasn't going to buy it myself, and I wasn't sure if you were. So, now
100%, I'm going to buy it.
Well, okay.
Have you watched the press conferences and stuff?
I've seen a little bit of it. Yeah,
my God.
It's theater. It's what it is.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's going to be, the press conferences are way better than the fight's going to be.
Yeah, the fight's going to be over in no time.
No, the fight's going to go the entire distance, and Mayweather will win just like he does every other fight.
Well, if
McGregor's not going to touch him,
there's not going to be any grappling. There's no kicking. So, you know, yeah. McGregor's obviously at a disadvantage in that regard.
I love Conor. A lot of people hate Conor. I love him. I love him. I love him because he's annoying, because he's that dude, and because he backs it up. And even when he lost, he took it like a champ. He was like, in the fight game, you win some, you lose some. You know, you got to respect somebody like that, who owns up to it and just goes, hey, he beat me.
Well, the thing is, he's lost, what, three?
He's lost three, but only one in the UFC.
Right.
His other two fights were
really early
in his career.
In that sport, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I just want to let you know that I understand, is that in that sport, dude, like one swing of a fist or a foot can change the whole thing.
Yeah, people lose all the time.
Right.
I mean, and it's super uncommon to be undefeated.
Yeah. So I was reading about Ronda Rousey, how she, you know, her losing really kind of blew her whole psyche.
It did, and it shouldn't have.
Right.
Yeah.
So, because it's like people lose in this sport.
She had a terrible, the first fight, she had a terrible game plan.
Right.
She was going up against this chick named Holly Holm, who everybody I'm talking to probably knows this, but Kevin is not super familiar.
Right. I know she fought her.
She's a world-class kickboxer. World-class.
Right.
Right. Rhonda is a world-class judo player, right? She knows judo and jiu-jitsu really well, grappling and stuff like that. Her stand-up game's okay, and she's able to beat up chicks before.
Is that what they call it, the stand-up game?
The stand-up game.
Okay.
There's stand-up, there's clinch, and then there's ground game.
So she was more ground game.
And clinch.
Okay.
You know, clinch and ground game is certainly Ronda's forte. And she went in there and tried to box a world champion kickboxer. That, I mean, do you want to get knocked out? Because that's how you get knocked out. You know, and she was...
As soon as you said that, I saw the Archer meme.
Yeah, I mean, she's running at her. And Holly's just clipping her and clipping her and clipping her. And all of a sudden, Ronda got a little loopy and turned her back. And Holly kicked her.
Done.
And that was it. And then she came back in to fight Amanda Nunes, who also is a very good striker. She's also really good on the ground, too. With basically the same game plan, it looked like.
Yeah.
And Nunes just beat her up. So
Ronda's out now, right? She just clapped out.
I don't know that she'll ever come back. If she does, she needs to rely on her... Listen, she was amazing with her judo and jiu-jitsu. She would grab a hold of you, throw you on the ground, and armbar you. I mean, she won countless fights like that.
Dude, the best video
I think she won in 13 seconds one time. A chick ran at her, and she rolled her up, boom, armbar, done.
Best video I ever saw featuring her was the Joe Rogan standing behind where she's getting weighed in. He kind of looks down at her butt and just kind of rolls his eyes and tries to look anywhere but Ronda's ass at that point.
But yeah, man, so... But the point is, this whole thing is a spectacle. Listen, Mayweather, and we're talking about boxing and MMA.
We're going to switch back to NFL here in a minute.
All right, the whole Mayweather McGregor thing. Mayweather is an elite level boxer.
He's kind of old though.
He's
right?
He's 40. He's the.
That's ancient for a
boxer. Yeah, but he's savage, dude.
He is.
He has fought the best of the best in his generation. He's probably the greatest defensive boxer of all time, and none of them could hit him. I don't think that Conor, as good as his boxing is, it's fairly good, can hit Floyd Mayweather. I just don't think he can. Now, if he does connect with that left hand, Conor's got a death touch. He will put people to sleep with it.
Yeah.
So there is a small percentage.
Is that kind of like the cheese touch?
Kind of.
Yeah.
But it's way worse. You just go to sleep right away. You should watch his fight with Jose Aldo.
Okay.
It won't take long to watch.
It's over quickly.
It's over pretty quickly.
I watched him fight that Hill guy.
It
was an early fight, I think.
Okay.
Like, he didn't have his chest tat back then.
They're all on Plex, man. I have them all, if you want to watch them. But his fight, or his whole game, is really around getting into your head. I don't think he can get in Floyd Mayweather's head.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So, they're going to make a bunch of money. It's going to be super slow. Now, if the tables were turned...
Yeah, I was hearing that they could actually make like Super Bowl type money.
They're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know if it's Super Bowl type money, but I would imagine that Conor might clock, you know, like $100 million or something. Like,
wow,
a lot of money, dude.
That's just for being there, not winning or losing. That's just for right. walking in the door,
for showing up, and all the pay per view buys and stuff like that. Because he gets a percentage, all that stuff.
Yeah, good for him. Well, Mayweather's going to get paid too. Believe that.
He's already paid, dude. Anyway. He's probably the richest boxer ever, maybe. But the other thing is, if the tables were turned and Floyd walked into the octagon,
there's
a 0% chance he would beat Conor. Like, it just, there's no way. Conor would kick him one time in the chest.
That would be it.
Yeah.
Well, because you know what? You know, Mayweather's been hit a lot of times everywhere mm-hmm. that you mm-hmm. could be hitting a dude in, but
he's never been leg kicked though.
You catch a knee to the abdomen. Ugh. It's a big
that's
difference.
He'll ball you up and strangle you.
Yeah. I mean, he gets you on the ground, you're finished.
Oh, yeah, it's done. Well, I mean, he's done anyway. It just wouldn't be a thing. So Conor has to go box. They couldn't do it the other way around.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's like when Rocky fought Thunderlips, you know?
You're goofy.
Until Rocky cut the gloves off and went native on him.
Right.
You know, it was all Thunderlips at that point.
Right.
So if we could circle back to the NFL.
Okay.
We were talking beforehand about receivers that really have a whole lot of high upside in the back end of rounds.
Alshon Jeffery.
Yeah. Well, no, he's going to be gone by then, of course.
I know.
But, you know.
He's still falling kind of, though.
He's not not getting up there with the big boys, but I think there's value for him. But, you know, talking about late round guys, and I've done a few mocks. I'm not going to lie to you. I've got the Fantasy Pros app on my phone, and I'll mm-hmm. do, if I'm sitting there waiting for the wife at a store or something, I'll knock out a quick mock.
Right.
And I find that, you know, I end up with Adam Thielen a lot.
A lot.
And I end up with Kenny Stills from the Dolphins a lot. And I pass by Robert Woods a lot.
Mm.
Like, I'm not quite sure about that whole L.A. Rams situation.
I don't mind Thielen. I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, Keddy Stills is one of those guys who relies on the long ball a lot.
Yeah.
And they really want to run, you know, Adam Gase wants to run the ball.
Sure he does.
A lot more than he
does. Every NFL coach wants to run the ball.
Right, but whether he gets to or not. Yeah. I don't really want to rely on a home run. Maybe in a flex occasionally. Maybe in daily fantasy for a DraftKings league. Maybe Kenny Stills is my flex guy.
Yeah, sure.
But for a season-long league?
Yeah.
You know, but look at it this way. Would you rather have Kenny Stills in the 12th round or Kenny Britt in the 12th round?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Those are tough calls. But
they
you mentioned
are.
Adam Thielen is a guy I would love to have.
Yeah, I like him. I like him.
You know, cause he could be a wide receiver three or a flex pretty much every week in that offense, you know, kind of like that. But, you know, at that point.
Yeah, it's kind of rough down that line. But Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit gross. Like, you know, Cole Beasley's there in roughly in the same territory. I guess that's not terrible.
Yeah, but it's not great either.
It's not. J.J. Nelson.
Yeah. So, you know, at that point, maybe Kenny Britt's the best of
maybe
a bad lot.
Yeah,
you
he
know?
Might be.
The problem with the Browns, of course, is, well, twofold. Number one. They're the Browns.
They're the Browns.
Number two is that who's going to be throwing the ball? Is it going to be the rookie? Is it going to be Kaiser? Is it going to be Cody Kessler? Is it going to be Brock Osweiler?
I'm going to say yes.
Guaranteed to be one of those three fellas.
It might be all three, dude, at some point during the season.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, the way they go through quarterbacks?
Yeah. When your best quarterback to play for your franchise played in the 50s,
yeah,
you got problems. Yeah, now, you can talk to me about Bernie Kosar.
Yeah, Bernie. Bernie
was all
right.
You can talk to me about Sipe. But, dude, the best quarterback.
Derek Anderson
in their history,
had that one good year.
In their history.
I know.
Long term.
Yeah.
Was Otto Graham.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Now, you know, the Jets have the same problem. The best quarterback in their history was Namath. They haven't really had a good one since. O'Brien was okay. They had a couple of okay guys,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
But you know, when you got a team like the Colts, it had Unitas, and then had Burt Jones, who was really good, and then had Peyton Manning, who was awesome,
right? They got lucky,
right?
Yeah, I mean that's the case for a lot of teams, though. I mean, like a lot of teams have struggled. You know, these teams that get lucky, like with Montana and then Young or Favre.
They went after Young.
I know, but then Favre and then Aaron Rodgers,
right?
Yeah, you know, good for you. Yeah, you guys.
They got lucky because for some reason, I'm sure you've seen that documentary about Aaron Rodgers just sitting there looking like a deer in the headlights in the green room.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Just falling.
I was watching the draft
that
day, and I was like, wow, why is this guy going so far?
Yeah, I mean, he was expecting to be the first pick.
He was in the conversation for one of the top quarterbacks, but he just kept falling.
Well, it was Alex Smith, and then nobody. There was no other quarterback until he was taken
until
by Green
taken.
Bay,
right.
Somewhere in the 20s, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
it might have been later than that, dude.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, I'll effort.
He's efforting. So
Aaron.
Right, but you know, you look at the Eagles. Really, their best quarterback was Donovan McNabb, arguably. Right, you can say Randall Cunningham as
no,
well.
No, it's not close. It's
McNabb. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was relatively recent. You know,
it was.
But if you look at like San Diego, yeah, they had Hadel, who was really good, and then they had Fouts, who was a Hall of Famer.
Right.
And now they have Phillip Rivers, who
may be
in a conversation for a jacket at some point, but it's iffy.
But yeah, sure.
You know, so, you know, these teams that can not get lucky necessarily,
he
but have success.
24th in the 2005 NFL draft.
That was the same year we started this show.
It was.
Yeah.
First show, we talked about Teddy Bruschi's stroke or something.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Did he have a stroke?
Yeah, it was awful.
It was terrible.
The show was terrible. I was still smoking then, so I sounded like this.
Yeah.
Lyle, tell me what you think about Teddy Bruschi.
We had these really crappy mics, so yeah. it was like, hey, I hope feel bad for his family and stuff, thoughts and prayers.
About his family, Kev.
It was awful.
Yeah.
It was awful.
It sucked.
Everybody's going to start somewhere, man. If you don't put yourself out there, we wouldn't have this gem, this polished gem that we have today, Kevin.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But,
by the way, everybody, speaking of polished gems, the website is back up and running. So there's
kinda.
A few bugs.
Yeah.
Well, no, not kind of. It runs and it's fine, but you will see a few errors until I get those cleared up. But it's just cosmetic.
Well,
nothing wrong with the site.
The thing is that, you know, we have 12 years of
yeah, it took me forever to migrate the database.
Yeah, 12 years of conversations on our forum. We don't want to cut those loose because sometimes it's fun to go back and look.
And 10 not only years that, ago. There's sometimes there's good information. There's articles about the magic formula there that right. still make a lot of sense. I mean, obviously the data is from 2008, but it's still pertinent today.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of historical stuff. I mean, the biggest reason is I don't want to have to make people re-register on the site. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's bad.
That's the biggest thing. So so everybody keeps their username and all that kind of stuff.
So it took a while to migrate it.
But
it
took migrated.
A while. Yeah, and it's not quite done yet, but it's good. So
it's up and running. I just got to fix a few minor
calculators
issues.
There. Yep. If you want to get in and start doing those numbers,
I haven't updated them for the season yet, so I got to do that for the magic formula calculator.
Yeah.
So we'll pull in last year's deal, and it'll go 1 year, 3 year, 5 year. So I'll do that probably this week sometime. Pull all the data from last season and update the calculator, but that'll be there, and perhaps some other stuff if I ever get around to it.
Right.
Yeah.
We had a request on an email to talk about auction strategies.
All right, we could do that next week.
So next week, we do this every year, and you know, if you've heard this before, you know, sorry, but we have to talk about it because it's the basis for everything that we do on this show, and what we talk about is the magic formula.
Sure.
Drafting with a magic formula, and we'll talk about auction drafting next week. So, you know, if you're talking about doing drafts at this point, it's too early.
Yeah, you should.
So, you know, we want to kind of get in front of those things. If you're drafting in August anytime, okay, well, you know, it is what it is, schedules and whatnot. But next week, we'll talk about drafting, auctions, and other things, keeper leagues, that sort of thing, dynasties. We'll touch on all those, and we'll go from there. So, I'm looking forward to it, dude. I'm psyched the season's about here.
Me too.
By the way, Lyle and I, since we moved our hosting over to Blog Talk Radio, where you might listen to us, or iTunes, of course, but they run expert leagues there. And we're going to be in a Blog Talk Radio expert league.
Experts. Are we going to share a team?
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be.
Nah.
Yeah, got to be with you.
To play with you?
Well, no.
That's lame.
You just have to draft with me. I'll tell you what, I won't tell you when the draft is. It'll be my team. Screw you.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, we're going to share a team. It'll be the Fantasy Football Guys team.
All right.
You know.
Kick their races.
The red bastards. I don't really see us disagreeing on a whole lot.
Probably not.
We may disagree on player, but I think we're going to be right there on position.
Probably.
So, yeah. I think the last... Yeah, I don't know. The last time you and I drafted together, I think we drafted Tom Brady and Drew Brees.
We drafted two quarterbacks in the first four rounds because people were just letting them drop.
Yeah, and this was back when these guys were both first rounders.
Yeah.
And we thought we can trade one of these
guys.
We
got one and two and one and four. I think we got Brady in the second and Brees in the fourth. And we thought we could move one of them. This is why that's always a bad strategy. Nobody would take them.
Right. For what we wanted?
Yeah, nobody would take them.
Yeah, so we ended up with both of those guys.
For the season, and then we sucked.
Excuse me. So a top five draft pick was on the bench every week.
Yeah.
So that was back in the early days, you know, before we really had grasped, you know, the.
No, I think we were still touting it, but it was a while back.
So what the hell were we doing then, drafting quarterbacks?
We just couldn't believe the value.
There was a lot of value there.
Yeah.
Terrell Pryor for a 15th.
It's pretty good. I just worry about the situation, man.
Well, it's the Redskins. Cousins is there.
I understand.
Man.
That's the situation I was referring to.
I understand. So you do know where Terrell Pryor is.
I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, well, dude, believe me, it's, you know, I'm still eyeing Jordy with the second, you know?
That's solid, man. You can't go wrong with him.
You can't. But yeah. The problem is that it's, you know, it's a keeper league, so all the good RBs are just gone.
Right.
You know, so.
You don't got any RBs?
None that I want to keep.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I feel those feels,
right,
brother.
All right, we're out. Enjoy your weekend, and stay cool if you're in the Northeast because it's hot as balls up here.
Damn hot.
Yeah. All right, we're out. We'll be back next week to talk about drafting and such. And until then, stay cool. Stay chilly. Mm.